tax extra.
LA's home for NFL football.
Get pumped, baby! Vegas touchdown! Touchdown, LA! Toward the end zone lead, touchdown, Chargers!
This is LA Football Mondays.
Let's go, boy!
Talking all things LA football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Yeah! Brought to you by the Ford F-150. With combined toughness and intelligence.
Head up!
Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. Here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson.
Okay, here we go. Eric Dickerson joins the show on a very big Monday, an exciting day. The Rams 2 wins away from the Super Bowl. ED, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney.
Good afternoon, Rambassador.
What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you we're going to bring it back home? Didn't I tell you that, Fred?
Yeah, you did.
I told you. Thank you. I said, we're going to be at home playing the Niners for the NFC Championship game. And here we are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk about yesterday, ups and downs for the Rams. Looks like they could have put it away. Then it looked like they were in big trouble, but a win is a win.
A win is a win. I was at the game. I went to the game yesterday. You know, one thing, and I kept saying this to everyone. I said, if we don't turn the football over, we will beat them handily. And I can go back to, and I know it sounds crazy, but Rodney, you kind of can relate to this. It's certain teams you have their number. You really do. Yep. And the Rams have always had the Bucs number. They really have. And we've never really struggled with them that much. But yesterday, I mean, that score should have been about maybe 40-10, to be honest with you.
Yes.
But the turnovers, man, were just crucial at the wrong times. We went in at half, and Cam Akers fumbled right there before the half. You know, it was like 12 seconds left on the, like, 3-yard line. And they went in 27-3. I mean, then the snap, we Von Miller got the strip sack. Then the center hikes it 50 yards down the field. You know, then Cooper Kupp fumbled. Then what was the next fumble? Cam fumbled again, you know. You can't play like that. I mean, like I said, you don't think about those kind of things when you're playing. That's just how football goes. I mean, like I told you, Fred, you heard me say this before. My worst football game to date, I had 3 fumbles.
Redskins.
Played the Washington Redskins, right. It still bothers me today. Watching Cam, I know how Cam feels. He feels like, man, why come I can't hold this ball? It's not his fault. He's trying to make things happen. And you saw him. They pulling at the ball. And this coming week, they're really going to be tugging at it. But that game yesterday, it just showed. Well, first of all, I want to talk about one guy, the guy that everybody has been on since we got him, Matt Stafford. We can't win a playoff game. He's not a big play guy. You know, he's the wrong guy. See, he's throwing all those interceptions. Oh, he's not it. And it's funny, guys yesterday that had been talking all that noise, all of a sudden they would tell, man, he's the guy. You know, you traitor, you know. Jeff Heller, you one of them out there. I'm going to say, you probably listening anyway.
He called him out, Jeff Heller.
Man, I'm telling you, this is the right guy for our football team. He showed yesterday what a big-time player he was. And I don't know if you saw on Instagram the speech that McVay gave and gave him the game ball. I mean, man, Rodney and Fred, he's a big-time player. Matt Stafford, I met Matt Stafford once. I really don't know him. But I'm really happy for him because he deserves that. He didn't get the monkey off his back. I mean, we want to go to the Super Bowl. I think we'll make it there. But right now, he's won 2 playoff games, big playoff games. That game yesterday, without him, we don't win that game. I mean, if that game goes into overtime, really, I think we lose that game. I think the Patriots probably get the ball back. Tom Brady does his magic, and we lose.
Yeah, momentum was all on Tampa Bay side at that point. And I said this earlier, ED, because before that, the 3 series before that, it was a little shaky. And it was the momentum had shifted, and there were a couple 3 and outs, and there were a couple balls that he was throwing at, you know, behind Higbee a couple times, and I think one sailed over Jefferson's head. So it was like, oh, now it's gotten tight. What's he going to do now? And then with 42 seconds left, they got the ball. 2 big throws to put him in position to win it. That said it all, like, okay, get off his back now. He made the play in crunch time, on the road, in the playoffs. Get off his back.
get off his back. I'm going to tell you, when he threw that bomb to Cooper Kupp, all I saw is him drop back, and they showed the ball, and I'm like, oh, he going deep. And I saw Cooper had his guy beat. I'm like, hell yeah. I mean, hell yeah. Because let me tell you, when I was at the game. I left the game. I got outside. We were up by 14 points. Then all of a sudden, I get to the car. They said, well, the Buccaneers just scored. So now we're up 7 points. When I pull up to the airport, we're tied. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. I said, you got to be kidding me. So when I stepped into the airport, watched the game. It was 42 seconds left, and that's when I saw him. I'll say he did his thing. He did what Matt Stafford was paid to come here to do, and that is win the big game, and he won that big game yesterday, along with our whole football team. The defense played great. I mean, they put some pressure on Tom Brady,
He never saw before.
He ain't seen it. I told you. No, you know this, Rodney. Y'all don't like to get hit. You quarterback. Y'all don't want to get hit now.
No. And you don't always have to hit him. I mean, you don't always have to sack him, but if you hitting him, and they bloodied his lip a little bit. But they hitting him and making him uncomfortable. That was as uncomfortable as Brady has felt, I think, all season long we've seen him. You know, some of the throws that he was forced to throw early that sailed, one got picked. He was definitely uncomfortable the whole day, and that's exactly what you have to do. And I'm going to tell you this. Number 40, who they traded for and got enough work in right at the right time, Von Miller. Boy, he is back to Von Miller of MVP days, because when they need a sack,
well, when he
Von Miller's coming off that corner, man.
When he's coming off that corner. And the thing is people say, man, well, why Von Miller, ain't, you know, he ain't doing this. I said, man, first of all, Von Miller played in the defense at Denver for all those years. It takes some time for him to get into the continuity with him and Aaron Donald. It just don't happen like that. People think when you get to a team, you know, you're a great running back or you're a great quarterback or
sack artist. Yeah, you should be a great in any team you're on. You should go be great the same way you were.
You should go be great right over here right now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that. You've got to get the continuity with those guys, and you can see right now that the continuity is coming with that defense.
Oh, yeah.
You were in the stadium, Eric.
Yes.
So you got to feel the atmosphere, sense the emotion. As the Rams were putting it on them before you left, what was that crowd like?
Man, let me tell you, I was in my buddy's suite, and it was me and my friend Chris Leggio and his son Eric were the only Ram fans. And I was trying to be quiet. I mean, when we would score, I would just go, yeah. I would jump up, you know, just go, yeah. They get a sack, I'd go, yeah. You know, and he'd say, hey, y'all stay, leave Eric alone now. I said, I'm not saying nothing. And then when they would score, they would go crazy. They would look at me, one guy say, hey, what you think about that old man now? What you think about the old man now? I said, hey, he's still an old man. He's still an old man playing football. But, you know, when I left, like I said, we were up 14 points. And they were like, well, man, you know, at least we made it out of a game. You know, good seeing you, Eric. You made it out of a game. So when I got to the airport, I called him. He said, Eric, when you left, he said, I put a paper towel all over your seat. Make sure nobody sits in that seat. He said, I was a shrine to you over there. I said, well, thanks. But let me tell you, that stadium was loud. I mean, it really was loud. I mean, but, you know, it's funny how they expect Tom Brady to bring them back. You can tell it. I mean, everybody, come on, 12. Right? Come on, 12. What you doing, 12? Man, come on, 12. I'm like, dang, 12 ain't got no time to throw the football. Hey, 12's fault. How he missed that pass? How he threw it in the ground? I'm like, the rusher's on top of him. That's why he threw it in the ground. I mean, they expect Tom Brady
And he almost brought him back to do it, too.
He did almost bring him back. But we were letting him back in the game. That was the thing. We were just letting him back in. I'm like, my God. I didn't see the 55-yard touchdown. I was outside. I heard the scream.
It's just Jalen. Jalen just got beat.
That happens.
You know, with defensive back as aggressive as he plays, it's amazing that hasn't happened more for the way he plays, because he doesn't play it safe. He's playing aggressive on any and the best receiver. So, you know, it's bound to happen. And no, hey, look, Mike Evans is a good receiver too. So, like you say, he get paid over there. He's a star on that side too. So, it happens. But man, you could feel, and like you said, in the crowd, because you had left, but I'm sure in the crowd, when that momentum started to swing and they tied it up, boy, it felt like, okay, like you said, Brady's going to do it for us again.
Man, I'm telling you, Rodney, they expected it. They expected Brady to bring them back. That's what those fans expected. No matter what, no matter if he getting sacked or not, they expected him to bring them back. And I'm going to tell you, me, honestly, I kept saying, I said, look, man, I told my friend Joe, I said, Joe, I'm going to tell you how this game should go. I said, if we don't turn the ball over, I said, I'm telling you from the beginning, we don't turn the ball over, we're going to beat y'all easy. I said, if we turn the ball over, y'all going to make a game of it. And they made a game out of it.
Okay, the 49ers beat Green Bay. It wasn't a sparkling performance, but their special teams and their defense basically won that game for them up there. So the Rams catch a break. You know, I'd rather play here than have to go to Green Bay, that's for sure. But, Eric, you've seen the 49ers twice. As a matter of fact, six consecutive times, and the Rams haven't beaten them. The Rams know what they're going to do. There doesn't seem to be many surprises here. They've seen them enough. They've lost to them enough. So why, aside from it's a new game, will this be different?
Well, first of all, you said the key word. They've seen them enough. They lost to them six straight times. And this game here, this is the game. I mean, we haven't played the 49ers in an NFC Championship game in 32 years. I think that was in 1987 when they had the Phantom Sack down there on Jim Everett. That's the last time we played an NFC Championship game.
Remind us what the Phantom Sack was, E.D.
Well, I mean,
it was up there, right?
It was in San Francisco. It's in San Francisco. Yeah. I wasn't on the team then. I watched the game, man. I'd probably been on that team, man. We'd have won that game. Yeah. I'm serious, man. I used to kill the Niners.
Absolutely.
I mean, even I was with the Colts, I used to kill the Niners.
Absolutely.
We didn't have a great offensive line. You know, they rushed Jim and Charles Haley. Like came at him and Jim just, I mean, honestly, you know, it's the truth. I mean, he just went down. He just went down. I mean, and they called it the Phantom Sack. And then Jackie Slater told me, came to the sidelines. Jim said, They're going at my knees. They're trying to hurt me. You know y'all quarterbacks. Some of y'all quarterbacks can be right.
They hitting me.
They hit me. You yelling at me. Booing me. I'm done.
I ain't going in.
I can't do this no more. I'm not going back in. I'm done. Jim didn't say that. The guy in Chicago said that. But look, this game here. When we win this game. All those other six games makes no difference. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You know,
And you don't go into this game. I was telling Fred, you don't go into this game going, oh, they beat us the last six times.
Oh, no.
You're not even thinking about that. It's like, this is the next one. This is the one we focused on.
You go into that game thinking, really, we beat ourselves, just like we almost did Sunday. That's what they go. Man, they didn't beat us. We gave them that game. And the Rams really gave that game away to them. I mean, I give the 49ers credit. I mean, I take them credit. They won the football game. But this game here is the one that we, I'm going to say again, we will win and we will go to the Super Bowl. This is a big game, man. I'm telling you. I mean, and, you know, I know this. I'm going to say this. Man. I know one thing, you Ram fans. You
say it,
E.D. Selling your damn tickets out there. You better not let all them rip, man. I would be so pissed and so disappointed. The last time we played them, you would have sworn that we were in San Francisco. Now, I get it. It was the last game of the season. But I'm going to stay for home for Christmas. Man, please don't do this again. That was embarrassing. It would be very, very embarrassing to us, the Los Angeles Rams, and the city of Los Angeles to go to a game and all of a sudden it's red. That would be like going to the Boston Celtics coming here to play the Lakers when the Lakers on top, and all of a sudden it's Boston fans everywhere. I mean, that would be crazy. Or the Raiders playing the Broncos, you know, at home, and all of a sudden it's Bronco fans everywhere for the NFC Championship game. Man, no, we need our fans this game. So fans, please come out. I saw stuff yesterday while the fans were out. I forgot it was La Habra. I forgot what city they were in. They showed them. They were going crazy. So, hey, fans, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than this. This is the next game to the Super Bowl at home.
Don't sell out that ticket to get that extra $5,000, you season ticket holders.
Well, Andrew Whitworth's wife, Melissa, sent out a tweet and said, rather than selling your tickets, you know, I'll buy them. Please, do not sell your tickets to opposing fans. I will buy them. Then she woke up this morning after, falling asleep after a couple of pops last night and a win, and she said, good morning, Twitter. You know, is there an app that can erase what I said? No, so Melissa Whitworth is not going to buy your tickets. I thought it was a cute thing she did. She's not buying your tickets. No, they're very generous people. Do not call her and say, buy my tickets.
Man, Andrew Whitworth and his wife have done so much here in the community, here in L.A., you know, not even being from Los Angeles. So, you know, that's a great gesture, she says. But she shouldn't have to buy their tickets. You know, you as a fan, you should want to go watch your team play. You know, you should. And if this is the Dodgers, how would you like if the Dodgers are playing the Giants at home, you know, for the World Championship, and you look up and it's all Giants fans everywhere? You should be – Dodger fans would be pissed. Like, they'd be like, what the hell is this all about? I mean, So I'm saying the same thing, dude. Please don't let these 49ers, I can't stand their fans, man. They're so arrogant. Oh, they're so arrogant, I swear. Come in here. Oh, they're so arrogant. I hate the Cowboys.
AD, you know this, when teams kind of get on a roll, and I think for both these teams, really. Yes, the 49ers beat them 3 weeks ago or however long that was. But I think that the Rams, way they played against Arizona, that was a dominant effort. But then winning this game the way they did and having their way with Tampa Bay, then let them get back in the game, and then, you know, doing what they had to do in the end to win, it gives you a sense of momentum. But you know, when a team gets a roll and starts feeling it, like the 49ers are feeling it right now, how dangerous can that be? Not only that they can beat the Rams, and they've shown that they can beat the Rams, but they're also playing, you know, by just instinct. And I don't know about you guys, but that game after the first drive with Green Bay, and Green Bay went down and scored and then couldn't score after that, as that game kept going on, and as close as it was, it stayed close, stayed within striking distance, you felt like the 49ers were going to win that game. Because they couldn't break away. Green Bay couldn't break away from them, and they kept close. And it's like they got something going on right now in San Francisco. How much do you think that plays into this week's game for them? In San Francisco's side, thinking, we beat them, we got the number, and plus, we got this mojo going for us right now.
I think it plays a lot in for them, but for the team, you know, I think the team knows that the last game, that they gave that game to them. I mean, I'll say this, but when I was at the game and we were up 17-0, the way we were playing, I'm like, man, I just kept saying, we're going to lose this game. I mean, I just feel bad. I mean, I kept saying.
What made you feel like that?
I don't know, when they were up 17-0? I just feel like they were missing opportunities at times. They were missing opportunities.
Right. And you blow it wide open.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You can't miss opportunities. You can't let them score before half. You can't let them throw a pass 8 yards and a guy run 30 yards. You can't have a third and nine, and then the runner, and he runs the ball, and he picks up 15. You can't do that. I'm like, man, these things. I say, you if you want to be a real good football team and a dominant team, that can't happen. It can't be third and 18. They pick up 25, and that's what was happening a lot. They came out, they scored before winning the half. They came out after half and scored. They got the ball again and scored. I said, man, I just knew it. I just had a feeling. This game, I don't know why, I just feel different about it. I mean, I just feel like enough is enough. And we know what's on the line. They know what's on the line, too. Look, I can't take anything away from the 49ers. They're a well-coached football team. You know, Shanahan's done a great job with them. They run the football. They're old-school football, Rodney. They get in the I formation, and they will.
Yep.
They don't bury away from their run. And you're right. When they play, and I told my buddies, matter of fact, my buddy Chris, he bet on the game. I said, 49ers is going to beat Green Bay. I said, I'm telling you. I said, they're going to beat them. I said, I know it's snowing and cold. I said, it's snowing and cold. It's no better time than run the football. I said, passing is not the answer. I said, they don't have a running game in Green Bay, a real running game. The 49ers have a running game. And yes, they stayed in the game. They kept it close. You know how, Rodney, you kept it close.
Yep.
You just let us hang
on
around.
The road, especially on the road.
Let us hang around. Yep. You know, we go get
they hanging around. They even made A-Rod take off his Green Bay hat.
You took his hat off too? Garoppolo, I think this week when he sees the Rams again and what we saw in Green Bay, I guess what we've really seen, he's just more of a game manager.
That's it. That's it. I mean, he'll throw a few passes. He may throw two or three passes, they're big-time passes in the game. Two or three of them. Yeah. Then he'll throw those short crossing routes that's 5 yards, and they've turned into a 25-yard run. I'm like, y'all can't tackle Debo? Debo ain't but 5'11" or 6 foot. But Debo run like he's 10 foot tall. Yeah.
Yes, he does. But that's what I've been saying, you know, in that stretch. You remember when we were talking about Matthew Stafford, who was having the problem during that stretch where they lost three, and he was turning the ball over. It's like you got a tremendous defense, right? There's no reason for you to put your defense in bad situations and turn the ball over in your own territory. And I think Jimmy G is doing a a unbelievable job because his ego's out of it. He don't have to. He's like going in, I got to throw for 300 and some yards and four touchdowns. He's like, I got a great defense. They're going to keep us in the game. They're going to give me great field position. And if I don't put them in a bad situation, then we're going to hang around. I'll make three or four plays a game, and that's going to be enough for us to win. So to that point, I think he's playing it perfect because there's a lot of quarterbacks that would play that ego. Oh, man, I've only got 130 yards passing. I need to throw the ball more. And he's not that way. He understands what he has.
I think about two teams. Remember the Baltimore Ravens when they had that great defense? Yeah. Who's the quarterback?
Trent Dilfer.
Hey, yep. Ray Lewis said, just don't hurt us. Just don't hurt us. You know, I think about Phil Sims with the Giants. You know, just don't hurt us. You know, we'll do the rest. We have a great defense too. When we play, when we tackle, I mean, we really do. That our defense can be. Yesterday, that defense was dominant at one time. Yeah. Swarming. And that's what we need. One thing is we cannot have our offensive line get dominated by their defensive line. Because look, that's a good defensive line over there. That really is. You know, we can't take that away from them. They gonna get at them. Armstead and them guys, they gonna get at them.
All right, our visits with Erica brought to you by the Ford F-150, the official truck of the Super Bowl. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. And in the show today, between now and when we go off the air at 3, we're giving away 2 4 packs of tickets to the NFL Experience, so keep listening for that. And when we come back, is that coin flip a good idea for overtime? And should you play it out 10 minutes? Because yesterday, the people in Buffalo weren't pleased. We'll get into it.
Now's your chance to win $1,000.
Unbelievable.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website, work. That's work. Enter at am570lasports.com. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Together, all right, we can make things happen.
Presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. This is LA Football Mondays. Visit buyfordnow.com. Now, here's Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh yeah, let's keep it going on an LA Football Monday. Rodney Peete, Fred Rogan, and the Hall of Famer, the Rambassador, headed to the NFC title game. Eric Dickerson.
Damn, you're damn right. You're damn right.
Let's do it.
Do the damn thing.
Do the damn thing.
All right, over in the AFC. So Cincinnati surprised Tennessee. That's great. Joe Burrow's a real deal. And the other game was, just magnificent to watch. Buffalo and Kansas City. What, in the last minute and 24 seconds?
Oh, my God.
They scored like 17 points. It was amazing. Kansas City scored. Then Buffalo scored. Then Kansas City kicked a field goal. Then on to overtime we go. And what people are talking about today is the NFL's overtime rule. And you know how that works. Flip the coin. Win the coin flip. You want the ball. If you score a touchdown, the game is over. If it's a field goal, it continues. Well, Mahomes scored. Game over. What do you think of the overtime rule, Eric?
Hate it. I think it's so unfair. I mean, it really is. It happened to us. We was just a regular game. We played the Miami Dolphins in Anaheim Stadium. And we were going back and forth. Dan Marino, you know, he was slinging it. We would score, they would score because they couldn't stop the running game. We would score, they would score. Going to overtime, I never forget. We lost the coin flip. I unbuckled my pads. I said, this game's over with. Four plays, they were in the end zone. I mean, you have no shot. I mean, I think it's really unfair that you played such a great game, and if you don't win the coin toss, pretty much, if either offense is really hot, like Buffalo and Kansas City, you're going to lose. That's what it comes down to. It's not about your play. You don't even get a chance to compete. That's the thing I don't like. You know, and I think they're thinking about time. You know, we got another game. We got other. You know, hey, if it goes in the overtime, for streaming. Take it off air. Take it off the air if you want to. But don't do the players like that. That's the sad part. Those players play their hearts out, man. Both those defenses, both those offenses. And then all of a sudden, you lose like that. I just think it's unfair.
Yeah, you know, I used to really hate it when all you needed was a field goal. And that really
forgot about that.
Yeah, that used to be a time, when you just needed a field goal to win it in overtime. And the coin toss really meant a lot more then. But if they're going to make that change, that if you kick a field goal, the other team gets a shot. Why not just do it all the way? Where if you score, the team automatically gets one shot to score too, or just play it out. You know, play the 10 minutes out like it's another 10 minutes tacked on, and there's strategy involved, because if you get the ball back and you got 2 minutes to go, you just run the clock out like it's the end of the game. Just play the 10 minutes out, and then you might have to keep playing it, but you play the 10 minutes out. But I'd definitely like to see, at the very least, the both teams get a shot regardless. Now, whoever wins the toss and gets the ball and they don't score on that first drive, then the next team, you know, has the opportunity to score. If they don't score, they keep going, and then it becomes that way. But if you're going to do it for 3 points, just do it for 7 points too. That's, you know, that would be the way to do it.
What about the way they do it in college?
I don't like that.
Yeah, they changed that, didn't they? What did they do? They put on the 25-yard line?
They start on the 25, and then it can go 3 times, and then they got to go for 2. Every team's got to go for 2 after that. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think, you know, it's you're going to get a result sooner. But those games, we see those dragged. The score ends up being 75-72. Coach is ridiculous after a while. You know, play it like a real game.
Like a basketball game.
Yeah, when he went 6 overtimes. It's like, oh, man, come on.
Yeah, I like the concept. If you're going to keep it NFL-wise, just play the 10 minutes.
Play the full 10 minutes. Cut it down. Make it 8 minutes if you want to cut. Yeah. Make it 8 minutes. You know, but.
Let the finish be like the regular, like a finish in a regular game. So if it's winding, that 8 minutes is winding down, you play it like it's like the end of the game. Run the clock and go kick the field goal or whatever. You know, run it out if you got the lead.
Or give both of them a 2 minute drill. Both teams, you got 2 minutes, like the 2 minute drill. Okay, you get the ball on the 20. You got 2 minutes. What you doing in 2 minutes? And then the next, if they score, fine. The next team is the same thing. Like a 2 minute, you know, 2 minute drill, boy. Why do they play like that all the time? 2 minute drill, different.
Yeah, they go up and down the field. Imagine this. But yeah, just speaking of that, you're. By the way, if you love like quarterback play, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes last night, that duel was as good as I've ever seen. Them two making big time plays and with both their legs and their arm. Some of the throws that we made, and just imagine you're Josh Allen and you take that team down and you score a touchdown to take the lead with 13 seconds
left. That's it. That's
13 seconds.
That's what I said. 13 seconds.
They got 13 seconds. Now, granted, yes, they had 2 timeouts, I believe, but still 13 seconds. They got to get to field goal range.
All right, let me ask you a question. Now, I'm glad you guys brought this up because I was going to bring it up, but this is a good point. All right, he brings them down and they score. Buffalo kicks off. I've never played, but I mean, I know what I know from watching all these years. And I'm thinking, squib the ball, maybe just knock it up high so it's a jump ball. What you want to do is take time off the clock. The last thing you want to do is kick it into the end zone where no time comes off the clock. Now, as guys that played in this kind of situation, what should have been done, or was the right thing done? Because I thought, no, I just thought he'd try to line it right down the middle of the field. Somebody touches it. Now, they might take a knee immediately.
They would have.
Okay, they would have. But at the very least, some time came off the clock. What do you guys think of this?
Well, I think... to your point, if you're a special teamer, you're thinking whether they pooch it up in the air. If you got a good kicker to do that, because the team receiving will call a fair catch, and they'll fair catch that ball. But if you got a good one, they can kick it in a way that you can get it on down to the 10-yard line or so. That would have been a way to go. If you squib it, the thing about squibbing is sometimes it's not an exact science where that ball bounces. And you squib it, and the up guy gets it, all of a sudden, you got the ball at the 40-yard line to start that first play as opposed to the 25-yard starting that play. Doesn't always squib and roll and go all the way down to the 5. Sometimes that up guy gets it at the 30 or 40-yard line, and now he's running. Now you've got 15 yards to get in field goal range. So I don't think there's a right answer with this one. because it could have gone either way. But either way, you give another opposing team, probably any other team without Patrick Mahomes, maybe Brady because he's done it in the past, 13 seconds from the 25-yard line to get in full field goal range. That means it had to be perfect. I just don't agree the way they played. You know, they gave up the middle. Kansas City had timeouts. So it wasn't like, oh, they got to throw it out of bounds and hit the sideline. Two plays they hit were down the middle that gained gigantic chunks to put them right in field goal range. And boom, it was absolutely amazing. As big as you saw Josh Allen going crazy, the look on Patrick Mahomes is like, okay, give me 13 seconds. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because think about it. You know, if you're playing a football game, if you're in that game, you think 13 seconds, this game over. You know, kick it in the end zone. The defense, they ain't going to let him pick up 50, 60 yards. That's what you think. In a sense, you think, what kind of defense were they playing? What about the defense coordinator? I'm surprised he wasn't fired today. You know, like they did in Houston when they lost to Buffalo that year. They fired everybody on defense. Oh, they fired everybody. Yeah. You know, 13 seconds is not a lot of time. So if you give up, you know, I didn't see the end of the game because we were taking off on my friend's private plane. I would, you know, that's not my plane.
Glad you dropped that in again.
I'm letting everybody know, not my plane. Let's get that right, not my plane. And then all of a sudden he said Kansas City won. I'm like, what you mean, Kansas City won? How? That's what I'm like. But the score was 36-33. He said Kansas City won. So I said, okay, so they must have gotten field goal range, kicked the field goal, won the coin flip, and Mahomes scored. So I just feel bad. I mean, I feel bad, man, for Buffalo player, that quarterback, man. He is, he is the
real deal. One of them throws,
Yeah, both of them. He's a real deal.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. And let's just do Tennessee real quick against Cincinnati. I was surprised. Tennessee didn't win that game. Yeah.
I wasn't.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't shock.
I mean, great having, you know, Derrick Henry back, but they, you know, there was, you know, Cincinnati's in the playoffs and play well for a reason. They knew if we can just somewhat not let Derrick Henry go crazy, we can beat Tannehill. Kind of the way people start to, you know, kind of approach Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't let him run the football and make Jimmy G beat us. We can win. And they feel the same way about Tannehill, and it showed because, you know, Here's the difference and the thought process. We talked about that a little bit today as a quarterback and playing with what you have. Tennessee's defense was killing Cincinnati up front. They had nine sacks. Yep. I mean, nine sacks against Joe Burrow, and they still won the game. But you're a quarterback. That game is tied with 30-something seconds to go in the game. Why are you forcing the ball into double coverage if you're Tannehill in that situation? If you got it, yeah. If you don't, punt the ball, play defense, and go into overtime and go try to win it in overtime. Instead, you force the ball. And again, Joe Burrow, all they got to do is make one play, and they're in field goal range, which they did, and game over. But that one's on Tannehill.
Our business with Eric on Mondays are brought to you by the Ford F-150, the official truck of the Super Bowl. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. And do not forget, 2 4 packs of tickets to the NFL experience. We've got them, and we're giving them away today.
AM 570, LA Sports.
From the Rams to the Raiders to the Chargers, this is LA Football Mondays on AM 570, LA Sports. Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete are presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
Yeah, let's go. LA Football Monday, Rodney Peete, Fred Rogan, the Hall of Famer, the Ram Ambassador, Eric Dickerson.
Damn right.
So we saw over the weekend, two of the top quarterbacks in the league lose, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And
killing Aaron Rodgers. Boy, yeah. Social media killing Aaron.
Yeah, well.
Oh my God! You see what with him and Tom Brady? I say, you want to watch the Super Bowl together?
The question becomes, what about their futures? Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. What do you think happens with Aaron Rodgers? Does he go back to Green Bay?
Me personally, I don't think he goes back there. He said that he's not wanting to go to a team that's rebuilding, and I think Green Bay's trying to rebuild. I mean, to me, they've never given him what he needs all the time. They really haven't. I mean, he wins the MVP last year, and you go draft a quarterback. What sense does that make? That made no sense at all. I mean, how about an offensive lineman? How about another receiver? But a defensive lineman, but what about giving him some help on offense? I just feel like they've never really listened to what he wants. And, you know, people say it's hard to get along. I don't know Aaron. I met him one time. So, I mean, his teammates seem to respect him and like him because, you know, the thing about media is that the media say one thing and it's a whole other thing in the locker room. But I just feel like for him, I don't think he's going back to Green Bay. I don't think he wants to. He might want to go back, but I don't think he wants to go back to Green Bay. I think he's kind of done with them. I just hope like hell he don't go to San Francisco. Please don't go there. Go to Denver. You know, go to AFC. But I think he's done. I think he's done in Green Bay, me personally.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting because I think that part of him, I believe because he set it up. He set it up for you could feel if they would have gone on and won it all, you could just kind of feel how cocky he was going to be about everybody that took shots at him all season long for all the things that he said and did and held out and held the organization hostage and, you know, the vaccine thing and all that stuff that went on. He was waiting for it. And he even said it. Yeah, this the MVP that's coming out that he's about to get is going to feel even sweeter based on what he went through this offseason. So had he won it, I think he would have definitely probably moved on. The fact that they didn't win, it just feels like there might be to him like I left something on the table and I'm not going to be looked upon as like Brett Favre is in Green Bay at the end of my career because the way we've lost in the playoffs here at Green Bay. I didn't realize this. He's only 5-4 in home playoff games in Lambeau, which is playing in the cold where they're supposed to have the advantage.
And, they lost him.
You know, and three of them been NFC title games. And right. So, you know, I don't know if he can live with leaving without winning one in Green Bay, but I think this was their best shot. And to Eric's point, I don't know what else he might be feeling like. I don't know what else I can do here.
I mean, think about it, Rodney. I mean, what are they going to get him that's going to really help him?
Well, they definitely need the another top-notch receiver other than Davante Adams for sure.
That's what they need.
But they, you know, their running game was good with Dylan and Aaron Jones this year was pretty good with their 1-2 punch, and then their defense was better. So they're close. They just don't have another weapon on the other side of Davante Adams.
All right, and it showed in that game, yep. that playoff game right there. All they had was Davante Adams. I mean, the running game, they shut the game. I think Dylan got a little banged up. So now you're down to one top receiver. So now we don't have to worry about nobody else. We just double him. That's what they did. And once again, they're not giving him anything. And I think that it's almost like a disrespect thing. Like I said, they didn't come talk to me and tell you. I can tell you what I need or what I want. If it's Tom Brady, I guarantee you he'll do that. I guarantee you Matt Stafford went to the organization and said, hey, and he's been there 1 year. Hey, Sean, I need this. Can you help me get this guy? This is what I need. You know, I believe that with the Green Bay Packers, they haven't given him what he needs all the time. And let me tell you, think about this, Rodney. When and if he leaves, that is going to be one bad football team. I'm telling you, they're going to go back to the old Packers. Yeah. They're going to be terrible.
Yeah, all right, what about
– put on it? Yeah, that's what they take for granted right now.
Yeah, they take it for granted. They take it for granted.
How many wins he's provided that organization. But again, also, you know, he's – They've been in situations with him under the helm. They said back-to-back playoff home field advantage and got bounced. And so that just that not sitting too well. And I think he's feeling that, which is why I think the social media exploded on him. Because I think that everybody felt that the way he was going, some of his snarky comments and his, you know, kind of disrespect comments, that he was going in a way like, F the world if I win this thing. It's all on y'all, and I got the last laugh. And that's why they came down on him hard, man. Hard.
All right, what do you guys
memes?
No. What do you guys think about Tom Brady? What happens with him?
Well, I think Tom, you know, set it up. Well, I think he made $40 million. I think he'll make 12 this year. That's what I understand. But I also heard that him and Bruce Arians are not, you know, all buddy-buddy. Things are not good there. I think Tom wants to keep playing. I really believe that. I think you can attest to this, Rodney. One thing about football is, man, when you leave the sport, and you don't want to leave anything on the table if you think you can still play. And it's such a – if you're on a good football team, it's fun. It's fun. If you're on bad teams, it's no fun. I mean, you're like, man, I want to get the hell out of here. Yeah. And I think with Tom Brady, he's such a – still a great player, you know, at 42 years old because of the position he plays. Will he go back to Tampa? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I say this much here. I bet he doesn't want to retire. I don't think he wants to retire because he can't replace football. I don't care how much money he makes doing something else. It's nothing like he will never replace football.
No, you can't, and that's the problem. We all find ourselves trying to find something that's going to replace that high that we get when we walk out of that tunnel or walk into the, you know, step on that field. There's nothing like it, and you can't replace it. But I agree with you. He's a guy that's like that football rat that thinks about it all the time, and so it'll be hard for him to walk away. Plus, he just, you know, he just led the league in yards and touchdown passes and I think completions, and so at 44 he's still playing at a very extremely high level. So, you know, knowing how competitive he is, I don't see him retiring after getting bounced in the playoffs. I think he gives it at least one more run.
Our visit with Erica brought to you by the Ford F-150, the official truck of the Super Bowl. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today. And we've got 2 4-packs of tickets to the NFL Experience we're going to give away between now and 3 o'clock. Good news for the Lakers. They haven't had a lot of it, but they've got some now. And that's next.